before I start, I just want to make a couple comments about the vineyard industry in Virginia. It's relatively small compared to other industries, and it's primarily wine grapes grown in Virginia, but it's been a really growing industry recently. So Pierce's disease is a limiting factor in vitis production in states south of Virginia, so it's becoming a concern here. A little background about the disease. It's a vascular disease caused by a bacterium, Xylella fastidiosa, or what I'll call XF from now on, that just it colonizes and proliferates within the xylem vessels, blocks flow of these xylem fluids. A lot of the symptoms look like drought symptoms. There are a few more characteristic symptoms that I'll discuss later, but this will lead to decline and eventually vine death. In extreme situations, it takes within 3 years, it'll kill the vine. It's transmitted by xylem-feeding insects, and theoretically, any insect that feeds on the xylem vessels can transmit this bacterium. Here, we're focusing on sharpshooters or insects in the Cicadellinae. So I said before that Virginia was considered to be outside the range of Pierce's disease, and that was because this disease is limited by cold winter temperatures. People before looked at average minimum temperatures. Turner Sutton in North Carolina found that there is a link between number of days below a certain temperature. Here we're looking at -9.4 Celsius, and that's 5 days. We don't really understand this completely, but we do know that a certain amount of time of cold temperature will kind of knock this out from year to year. So this is becoming a concern because we're finding that many of these regions aren't experiencing the thresholds that we're looking for. So my objectives in this study, are there efficient insect vectors present in the vineyards? There's a historical record of some of these species being throughout Virginia, but are they feeding in the vineyards? So we looked at commercial Vitis vinifera, and that's wine grape vineyards, using yellow sticky traps through the growing season. We had to start a little bit earlier in 2007 because we were finding these leafhoppers on our first traps in 2006. And again, we focused on the sharpshooters as far as that survey is concerned. Also, is this causal agent, the XF, is it present in the vines? We used ELISA to confirm this, but really we were just scouting to see if we'd find symptoms of this disease and vine loss. So we sampled 10 commercial vineyards. These are all in production vineyards, and used Chardonnay when available because it's considered the most susceptible to the disease, that it shows the symptoms a little quicker than other species. And here are our collection sites. This red line is, everything west of this red line was considered low risk to infection because of that minimum temperature threshold. And as you see, these blue counties are places where we found symptomatic vines confirmed positive for XF. So clearly they're beyond that range. And these pink dots are our collection sites for the insects, and we found capable species in all of those and consistently throughout the growing seasons. Just how it breaks down as far as abundance. Graphocephala virsuta, far and beyond, is captured in higher abundance than other species. Agmatopia orbona is a different species. It's in most cases significantly higher, it's trapped in significantly higher numbers than other species, but you see there is kind of a discrepancy here. We still consider it an important species, and that has more to do with how it feeds and when it enters the vineyard. It's larger than, this is the Oncomatopia orbona and Graphocephala virsuta. It's larger, it feeds on tougher tissues, so you'd imagine that an earlier introduction of the bacterium into the plant will make a more dangerous situation because it'll have a longer time during the season to proliferate and block those xylem vessels and cause problems in the plant's physiology. So here we go. Bud break occurs in early April in Virginia, and you see that Oncomatopia does enter a little bit earlier, and this is overwintering adults that are coming from overwintering habitats, and they're most likely infective in this point. So the results of my first two objectives, we found these vector species in all the vineyards. We found the causal agent. We found XF in all these vines. So we're bringing this information to commercial growers. They're giving us our data, and they're really concerned about this because they're hearing horrible things from California and southern states. So they want to do something. They want to have some kind of action. They want to spray these plants. And There's several areas where I don't think it's necessary at this point. If things get a little bit worse as far as temperature is concerned, then maybe that'll be a problem. So I really wanted to find some way to give them an answer as to what action they could take once they find symptoms or they find leafhoppers in their vineyard. And just to show you how much difference is shown, this scale in this map, the red areas are considered high risk according to this temperature risk score that we're using, and that's number of days below negative 9.4 degrees Celsius, and this is from Turner Sutton in North Carolina. Here we go, the yellow areas are moderate, and green to blue we're considering low risk. Just so you see, this area right here is Charlottesville, and this is D.C., Washington, D.C., and there's a pretty healthy wine industry around these areas. So as I go through the years, and this is for each winter, this is kind of predicting the severity level of diseases. You see it changes from year to year. So you might have more severe symptoms this summer versus that summer. So you go through the years, and this right here is the 2007, and this was the year before that. So you see, like, even in the years that I was looking at as far as symptom severity, that we'll expect a little bit of variation. So what I did is I went to these vineyards and I scored vines, zero being no symptoms at all, one being localized symptoms. We're looking for marginal necrosis and matchstick petioles, where the leaf blade will come off of the petiole and leave this burnt necrotic tip, and those are the characteristic symptoms. So if I just find these in the top, I consider that a one, where you see it spreading throughout the vine a little bit, but not necessarily the whole vine, is a two. The whole vine is infected. I would probably consider this ready to come out of the ground once you see the whole vine really suffering from this disease. A four is a little more serious. The infection has spread to the fruit zone before it's ripe. And this, basically right after veraison, the fruit clusters will dry up, and they'll not be ripe. And five is a dead vine. And so that the score from the highest ranking vine at each site was assigned to that vineyard's PD score. So for each site, I had a PD severity score and this temperature risk score according to NOAA stations. So what I wanted to do is just do a simple correlation between this severity of symptoms that I saw in the vineyards and abundance of sharpshooters. I looked at total sharpshooters, total Oncomatopia orbona, total Graphocephala virsuta. Also, the timing of their entry, I tried to estimate the number of degree days accumulated by the time the first one was captured, and that's for Oncomatopia orbona and Graphocephala virsuta. I also compared the severity to the temperature risk score that was experienced by that vineyard in each year. I'm not going to show you the regression between the insect abundance and the severity score because I couldn't find a relationship between them, but I do want to point out that there is a big discrepancy between numbers of insects trapped in different areas. V6 and V8 are in areas in northern Virginia or in central Virginia. V2 over here is the higher area, the higher risk areas in eastern Virginia. And you see there's a pretty big discrepancy, but again, there was no relationship found at any site between PD symptom severity and vector abundance. I did find a relationship between the severe PD symptoms in areas that didn't experience this threshold. So of course, this isn't the best model to describe the situation, but this is the best we had to offer for our growers, where we're not recommending vector management in areas that consistently experience this cold weather. So in conclusion, Xylella fastidiosa is present in areas where we weren't expecting to find it. Symptoms are present in areas we weren't expecting to find it. And of course, we have vectors, and they're very abundant in most areas. So there's a potential for a wider range of PD, but we're urging our growers just to monitor temperatures and act from there. And I wanted to thank all the many vineyard owners and managers that helped me with my data collection. Oh, right in the back. He asked about what they're doing before, what they're feeding on before. It's a really hard question to answer because most of the vineyards that we're working with, and it's pretty regular for Virginia, they're very small, a few acres to 20 or 30 acres. So it's a really wild, weedy areas around most of them. There was a couple places that did have agricultural areas around them. I'm really not sure how to answer that question because there's a lot of variety in the areas that are overwintering. I'm assuming they're in woody areas that are a little more conducive to overwintering as far as temperature is concerned. Does that answer your question? Sorry. Yes?
Did you confirm that the vines actually had PE?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, when I was doing the scoring, all of those were confirmed positive with the LISA. And we used that because it was the simplest method. We didn't test any of the vectors. I would have liked to, maybe in the future, do it as a temporal scale to see which ones are actually infective when they enter the vineyard, because we're assuming that the overwintered ones are possible. They're carrying that bacterium, and there's possibly a lag, because when they molt, or when it's not passed to the offspring, so there's usually a lag a little bit later, maybe in May or June, as far as infectability. We didn't do that. The ELISA test kit that we used wouldn't have picked it up. I think we had problems with it because there's an enzyme in the insect body that interacts with that particular kit we use. So we would have had to use a different method or PCR.